Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. A report out today from the Boston Foundation says the greater Boston economy is booming, but the rising cost of living means that now more than 16% of families are living in poverty. According to the annual Greater Boston Housing Report Card, income inequality in the region remains among the highest of all metro areas in the United States. Twice the proportion of people in Greater Boston make over $150,000 than in the nation. Now, the region's rents also reached an all-time high this year at over $2,100 per month. That's 48% higher than in the year 2000. So all of this does sound more than a little bleak, but it doesn't have to be, because there doesn't necessarily have to be a trade-off between a successful economy and an affordable housing market. We just have to find the solution. And joining us with some of those possible solutions is Barry Bluestone. He's a co-author of the Greater Boston Housing Report Card and a founding director at Northeastern University's Dukakis Center for Urban and Regional Policy. Barry Bluestone, it's great to have you back.
Nice to be here.
So, Barry, you were on Morning Edition this morning.
Yeah.
And also, all the headlines for the Greater Boston Housing Report Card actually began with the fact that new housing permits have dropped. And I want to acknowledge that that was what caught a lot of people's attention. Can you just give us the, for folks who may not have heard you this morning, give us that?
Well, we've been following housing permits, which, of course, is the second stage in getting something built, apply, permit, build. And we found for the first time in 5 years a reduction in the number of permits quite sharply, particularly in Boston, Cambridge, and Somerville. We don't know if this is just a temporary pause. It could be a longer run trend, which would mean we'll never come close to meeting the housing goals we have to house another 160,000 households by the year 2030. So what we're looking at now is asking the question, why? The one answer is, we are at the end of a boom in luxury housing.
We've done a great job at building those $3,000 a month apartments.
Exactly. Yeah. And, you know, $3,000 a month is $36,000 a year in rent. And there aren't a lot of people who can spend $36,000. So the thing that we've been asking then is, how can we get developers who know how to build luxury housing to think about building housing for working people, for middle class? And we think we've come up with some ideas.
Okay, so explain to me why, before we get into those ideas, why this is more important than ever. I mean, you've been on the show frequently talking about the need for middle class and affordable housing, but in the Greater Boston Housing Report Card, the one that just came out, this latest one, I mean, we have this astonishing number about the poverty rate in
right.
Greater Boston.
Well, what we did is that I've been following the poverty discussion since 1964, when Lyndon Johnson declared a war on poverty, and somebody said, how will you know if you're winning? And so they had to figure out a poverty threshold. And so they did a poverty threshold in 1964, and each year they've just increased it by the consumer price index, by inflation. They've never adjusted it for the cost of living differences mm-hmm. across the country. And it turns out the cost of living in Greater Boston is about 38% higher than the nation. So I adjusted the poverty rate and found out, instead of having a poverty rate below the national level, about 11%, our poverty rate for families is about 16%, and for all households, including, you know, a single individual or two people living together, it's almost one quarter of our population in Greater Boston is under the poverty adjusted poverty threshold.
One quarter.
Mm-hmm.
Is that number likely to grow unless we get a handle on the housing crisis?
Absolutely, because while the average cost of living in Greater Boston is 38% higher than the rest of the country, it's driven by a 75% price differential on housing. Mm. So if we can't solve the housing problem, that means we're going to have an increasing number of people who not only can't afford housing, they can't afford, you know, to live here.
Yeah.
And I think there are two problems. One, it's an ethical problem. People should be able to live here if they want to. But number two, we're also going to be facing a terrible shortage of labor as older people like myself, I'm going to be 72 next month, are going to retire. How do we keep young people here if they can't find housing they can afford?
Hmm.
So far, we've been successful, but if we continue to see rents going through the roof, it's going to be hard for people to live here, and that's going to make it very difficult for businesses to hire.
So the Greater Boston housing cost burden you've found, and that's defined as paying more than 30% of income on rent, has increased to 50%. 50% of folks between 2010 and 2014. And then you also found that in Boston, for example, the number of permits issued for affordable units has gone down. Just 18% of all permits between 2011 and 2016, down from the 26% that it was 6 years before that.
Right.
So that's some more context there. Let's get to those solutions. Given that these are the trends, what are we going to do?
Yeah. So developers know how to build luxury housing. In fact, to some extent, it's easy, because people will pay exorbitant amounts of money, either people who live here now or an increasing number of people who from Russia, China, Norway, who are investing in housing here as a bank vault. So a lot of the housing that's been built is, well, it's housing, but since nobody's living in it, I'm not sure we should call it housing.
Right.
What they haven't figured out, and I can understand why they can't, is how do you build housing for everybody else? We know how to build some housing for the very poor because there's subsidies, but everything in between, working families, the police officer, the firefighter, the teacher, the young graduate student who's just starting out, they don't know how to do it because the cost of housing here, cost of land, cost of construction materials, cost of construction labor,
permitting.
The soft cost, the permitting. We last year found out that to build a triple-decker, a little frame triple-decker, three floors, two bedrooms and one bath on each floor, would now cost $1.1 million to build.
Just to build it.
To build it. So to build housing that is appropriate for families, like say a family of four, like your family, it's almost impossible. So what we've been saying is, okay, in 1870 to 1920, we had 500,000 new immigrants just in Boston, 500,000. We housed them all in a new kind of housing, the triple-decker. After World War II, we had all the returning GIs. They wanted to move to the suburbs. We figured out how to do that with suburban housing. Now we have a demographic revolution in Greater Boston, which is overwhelmingly made up of young people and seniors. And the old-fashioned single-family home isn't going to work for them.
Yeah.
So now how can we build housing that's so exciting for them that they move out of the triple-decker and make room
for the,
families?
So I'm hearing micro units and villages on the horizon.
Right. It's not just micro units, but we now have a lot of people, Tamara Roy at the Boston Society of Architects and others who are thinking about micro units, building a manufacturing facility here where we'd have panelized units. But then for whom? And the argument is young people before they start their families. So I'm thrilled to say that all of the conservatory presidents here, from the Boston Conservatory, the Berkeley Conservatory, the New England Conservatory, Mass College of Art, the Boston Society of Architects, Emerson College, have gotten together now under the direction of Richard Ortner, the president of the Boston Conservatory, to build an artist village that would house up to 600 young artists who are graduate students or alums who are now trying to be musicians or actresses or actors. Scott Bailey, who's the executive director of Mass Challenge, has all these great people, wants to build a starter village. Again, housing for that demographic. And so what we think we have to do is bring more people to the table. We've got to get university presidents. We've got to get hospital administrators where they have all of these interns and residents who need housing.
Barry, can I just jump in here? Because you know I'm a huge fan of yours, and I really actually very much appreciate the research that goes into the annual housing report. But so don't take this the wrong way. But sometimes I feel like when I hear about these, you know, these villages and these new ideas, et cetera, it feels very aspirational to me.
Right.
Like, could we get these new kind of housings online in time to really take the edge off this crisis that we're in?
Right. That's why I'm excited today, and you can hear it in my voice, because 2 years ago, no one was talking about this. And now we've had a meeting with all of the conservatory presidents. I think some of the other university presidents are starting to talk about it. And when we can get the new people involved with housing who've never been involved before, we have a chance of getting the governor, the mayor, developers, construction firms, all working together to solve this problem.
And would this help address those underlying issues that you were talking about that led to the $1.1 million triple-decker, the cost of the land, the cost of the labor, the permitting? I mean, those things, I'm not hearing those being changed.
We have to work on all of those. So we have to have zoning reform. We passed zoning reform through the Senate, Mass Senate. We got to get it through the House. We've got to find ways of reducing the other soft costs, all the regulatory red tape. We've got to find a way of reducing the cost of construction, and that's why this manufacturing facility could work. build more that way. We also have to figure out if there's land that's available, let's say, from the city-owned land or state-owned land or MBTA-owned land at Forest Hills that would be able to reduce the cost of the land. So we're trying to bring together all the parties that control land, that control zoning and other regulations, that control construction costs, and say, okay, folks, it's time we all work together to solve this problem.
Interesting. One last thing. Sheila Dillon at the City of Boston, head of housing there, she actually in the Globe was talking about a fine line that the city has to walk in terms of being a place where developers want to be because they would still get a return on their investment versus what you're talking about, which is also keeping rents in check. I mean, do you think the city's positioned to do that? Just got a couple seconds.
I think we can if we can get everybody working together on this problem.
Well, Barry Bluestone is a founding director of the Dukakis Center for Urban and Regional Policy at Northeastern University. He's also co-author of the new Boston Housing Report Card. We have a link to it at our website, radioboston.org. Barry, it's always great to have you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
That's it for today. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.